But there's hope. The only hope we have is in God. It's not in our wonderful hospitals and doctors, and it's not in our government. Our hope needs to be in God. And we need to point people to that hope, to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad I'm saved. We don't practice and preach a hope so, think so, maybe so. We believe in a know so salvation. You can know that you know that you know that you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. And the only way you can know is by the new birth. You have to be born again. You have to be born from above. You have to experience the effects of repentance. We just don't flirt with a recreation. We believe in a radical transformation. Something changes your life. It's God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit coming in and making you anew. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. We believe in a transformation that occurs by the power of God. And it's all through the blood. That's why we get up and preach the cross. I mean, it's the cross of Jesus. It's the cross that's the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's alive. Jesus Christ, after He died on the cross for your sins, He was put in the tomb, but on the third day, He arose, and He's alive forevermore. Amen. You can go to Him, and all that come to Him, He will change them and transform them. He'll save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. He's alive, and He hears your prayers, and He hears my prayers. And if you're today and you've never been saved, if you never experienced the new life that comes in you from God, you need to seek Him with all of your heart. Call upon Him. Pray. Nail this thing down between you and God. Have your sins put beneath the crimson flow. I mean, experience eternal life in Jesus Christ. He'll give you that eternal life. He said in Matthew 5:24, "He that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Listen, if there's never been a time in your life where you pass from a state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life, you need to seek Him out till you know Him and that your heart's been changed. You can stand up here like Perry and know that you're going to heaven. Yeah, we live in a troublesome and difficult world, a world full of trials and troubles and tribulations, but be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world and all the things in it. We have nothing to fear because God is with us. Emmanuel, Jesus is with His people. I'm glad I know He's in my heart. He's in me. I can't explain this to folks of the world, but I'll tell you, I believe like the Apostle Paul, God is in me. Christ is in me. I'm in Him. I can't explain that union that I have with Jesus, but there's a spiritual, divine, supernatural connection that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ that I can't explain to others, but I feel it. I know it. It's real. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Christ who died for me. He's in me. And I'm in Him. Praise God. The life that I now live, I live to Jesus Christ who loved me and died for me. Who's in me. Is He in you today? Do you know the Lord Jesus is in your heart and in your soul? Listen, we tell children around here and that they need to know the Lord for themselves. Listen, you're not saved because your parents are saved. You're not a Christian because you're an American. You have to be born from above by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, children, there needs to be something that happens in you that lets you know that your sin debt has been canceled. There has to be something to transpire inside of you that lets you know that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your account. There has to be something that occurs deep inside of you that comes from above. You've got to be born from above that you might know that you're justified in the sight of God. Paul said in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." So we point to Jesus. And we say, turn from your sins and trust in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if you go down in humility, the power of God will raise you up. Amen. Yeah.
And every one of these folks that are members of this church, they've given testimony that that's what happened to them. Some place, whether it was in an apartment or in a car or on a front porch or in a Methodist church or in a church of God, or wherever it might be, I tell you, God is present, and the sinner that goes down and looks to Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sins, the blood of Jesus is applied to their hearts. I got saved in a missionary Baptist church, but you don't have to get saved in a missionary Baptist church. You just have to be saved. Amen. You got to know the Lord for yourself. Actually, that's what the new covenant is. You read in Hebrews chapter 10. That's what the new covenant was that was promised is. It's knowing the Lord. He said that all would know me, from the least to the smallest. Even the children that join this church before they can go into the waters of baptism. Listen, if you go into the waters of baptism and something hasn't occurred in your life that's a witness to the death and the burial and resurrection, if there isn't something that that happened in your soul that bears record of the death of Jesus Christ making a profound impact on your life, you have no right to the waters of baptism. But when our children, even the least of them, before we put them in the waters of baptism, they need to know the Lord. Have a believing application of the blood of Jesus upon their souls that they can know that they're a child of God. That's what it means to be saved. You're no longer a child of the devil, but you're a child of God. Yeah, when I was under conviction and the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, I knew that I was doomed for a devil's hell. The wages of sin were against me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I was in such trouble and sorrow. But I'll tell you what I did. I did the same thing the psalmist did in the 116th Psalm. I cried mightily unto God. Called upon His name. Listen, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call on the Lord. And I got on my face before God. I called upon Him. I turned from my transgressions and my iniquities and my sins and all the reproaches and all the bad things that I'd done in my life. I turned from them and I looked to the cross. And when I saw Jesus and I fled for refuge in Him, He saved my soul. Nobody else knew it happened. I was the first one to know it. And listen, I didn't see stars or I didn't see bright lights. But I tell you what I did know. I knew, and it came directly from God, that I had just been saved by His wonderful grace. You can call it peace, you can call it whatever you want to, but it's a divine perception where you know that you've just passed from death to life. I remember when my brother Jeff came down to this altar crying out to God. I tell you, whether you're old or young, or whether you're middle-aged, no matter what your age is, if you've never come beneath the crimson flow, if you've never experienced the washing. Listen, all those that are in heaven, they're able to go in. Though they went through many tribulations, they were able to go through those tribulations and problems because they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, if you've never experienced the washing, I'm talking about the blotting out of your sins, the cleansings. Like Isaiah said long ago, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be so stained with sin that they're crimson red. But praise God, all they need is the blood of Jesus, and your soul will be made as white as snow. Man, that's an experience that everybody needs to have. And if you don't have that, you need to call upon the Lord. You need to repent of your sins. Listen, folks, that was the message that Jesus preached. The first message of John the Baptist was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the first message of Jesus Christ Himself. Gotta take a breath. Hold on, man. That was the first the first message of Jesus Christ was repent. The first message of the church, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Repent! Listen, Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Luke, except ye repent, you'll perish. You'll perish! Oh, God's been long-suffering to you. He's been merciful to this world, hasn't He? I mean, the long-suffering and the mercy of this world. The mercy that God has extended to this world. You know why? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He wants you to repent of your sins. Listen, you may think that sin has a grip and a grasp on you, that you can't find Jesus. You couldn't turn over a new leaf and live the Christian life. And that's exactly right. You need the changing power of the blood. That's what you need. And no matter how steeped in sin you may be, there's cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. There's a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners who dip beneath the crimson flow, they wash all their sins away. Amen? Yeah. And though you be a sinner vile as can be, He can wash all your sins away. Wash all your sins away. Wash all your sins away. Yeah. Yeah. This is a true and a faithful saying. 1 Timothy 1:15. Worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners. Paul said He was the chiefest of sinners. Do you realize that many of the greatest followers of Jesus were the worst sinners? He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Yet He got saved. Became a great apostle. Though He felt in humility He was the least of them all, He was one of the greatest apostles. I thought of Mary Magdalene. You realize that woman was filled with 7 devils? Yet Jesus set her free. She became one of the most faithful followers of Jesus. There she remained as He died on the cross. She was the first one at the tomb and the first one that Jesus saw after His resurrection. Mary Magdalene. Listen, I don't care how far removed you seem away from God, God can bring you in among His saints. No matter what sins you have committed, people feel like that they're so far removed from God they can never be saved. That's not true. Jesus came to save sinners. Sometimes we think that Jesus came to make the righteous a little more righteous, or the holy a little more holy, or the moral a little more moral. No, He came to save sinners. Can you say that this morning? That when you come to the chilly Jordans of death, that you have Jesus? Listen, when we come before the judgment bar of God, all that we'll hear is condemnation and transgressions that we have committed, but I have trusted in Jesus. Have you trusted in the only begotten Son of God? Aaron, get another song. We're going to give an invitation. I'm about done preaching. Listen, my friend, I don't know who you are, where you've been, how far you are from God, but Jesus died on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He came to redeem you and regenerate you, to transform you into the likeness of His Son. Ah, God loves you. Amen? God loves you. Jesus died for you. And He wants to save you. We live in a very difficult time. People feel like that there's no way out of the sin. Sin has grasped them and trapped them. Satan has his grip on them, and they feel like that there's no way of escape. When Jesus began His ministry, and He talked to the people that He grew up with in the synagogue of Capernaum about the anointing on His life. And he said, you know, he read from the prophet Isaiah from the 4th chapter of Luke, verse 18, and that He was anointed to preach the gospel to those that are poor, those that are in such desperation, those that are downcast and downtrodden. Listen, the gospel is for the poor of this world, those that feel like they cannot escape, they cannot get out, they feel trapped, they feel snared, they feel like they're in a state of desperation. Listen, there's hope in Jesus. There is hope through the blood. I saw in an interview a lady who had given her life over to drug addiction and prostitution. And she said, I have no way out. I have no way out. The only way out is suicide. But listen, folks, Jesus is the way out. He came to set the captive free. free. To heal up the brokenhearted. Listen, folks, this is the message that needs to go around the world. There's a Savior that came and died on the cross to get us out of the curse, out of the chains, out of the consequences of sin, and it's Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Oh, the curse. Sin, Satan seems to claim our society. He's setting claims upon our young people. The immorality and the lostness of our world. Have y'all been looking around? There's hope. Amen. In the God of all hope, who sent His only begotten Son. And those folks who seem like they're the farthest away from God, the long, strong arm of God is reaching out to them. Listen, His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor His arm short that it cannot save. I do believe there are those that feel so entrapped, so enslaved by Satan and by sin. They're like the man that had the legion of demons in him. You know, he looked like a punk rocker probably, running around gothic looking, running around tombs, cutting himself. People were afraid of him. But you know what happened? Jesus saved that man. The next thing you know, he was sitting there quiet and calm at the feet of Jesus. We're talking about that kind of change occurring in people's life. I still believe in the power of the gospel. I believe in the power of faith. If you will cast yourself at the feet of Jesus and trust your life to Him, He will change your life. He'll give your life meaning and purpose. He'll give you a glorious life. I mean, we're still talking about Mary Magdalene even to this day, but the girl got saved by the grace of God. And whatever demons were in her life, Jesus drove them from her and saved her from her sins. And whatever demons are plaguing our society today and people and individuals where they feel trapped, where they're in a state of desperation, when they're in a state of despair, listen, the gospel message is the good news they need to hear. We have the answer, amen? They need to hear the good news that Jesus saves. I believe somebody needs to hear this message this morning. That Jesus can and will save you from your sins. And whatever claims, I mean, isn't it amazing? I mean, have you ever read the 6th chapter of Corinthians? Paul was saying, you know, these things that people are doing, these immoral sexual acts that people are committing out in the world, all the homosexuality and all the perverseness and the wickedness that's going on in the world. And he talks about thievery and covetousness. And he says, those folks will not inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you. And in that 6th chapter, he says, but now you are washed by the blood of Jesus. You've been sanctified or set apart as holy by the power of God. And you've been justified where there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we forget those are the folks Jesus came to save. And He wants to change your life. You guys do believe Jesus changed people's lives, don't you? I'd probably be in jail if He didn't save me. I'll just be honest with you. I was a pretty mean boy. But the gospel got a hold of my soul. I got under conviction of my sins. I came to the cross and I've never been the same. never been the same. Oh man. It's real. Folks, I know you say, man, that preacher, I know we've got visitors here, and they're probably saying, man, he's just up there. He's all excited. Yeah, I'm excited. I know what Jesus can do for you. He can do for you what he did for us. He changed us. He made us anew. He washed us in his blood. He sanctified us by his power. And we are justified. I mean, he takes away the guilt, doesn't he? I mean, those folks, I don't know if there were folks in Corinth that were committing homosexuality, but he indicates there probably was. Do you believe the power of the gospel, the power of faith, can remove the guilt of that kind of sin? I do. Certainly do. People get so trapped in sin, they think there's no way out. Like a vicious merry-go-round. They're like intoxicated on their own iniquities and feel there's no way they can ever get off this thing. But I'll tell you, there's a way off. And it's Jesus. Jesus. Whatever snares you and entraps you, there is a rescuer and his name is Jesus. Sometimes you just need to say his name. I mean, you know what? It's amazing what would happen if you with a sincere heart would just get on your knees in the trouble that you're in and just say, Jesus! Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus! 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 I tell you what, no matter how dark a place you're in, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You turn on a light when you go in a dark room and the darkness flees. Listen, folks, no matter how dark a place you're at, when God comes on the scene, the light leaves. And Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Man, who? He has already spoiled all the principalities and powers by the cross. By dying on the cross and resurrecting on the third day, he's already spoiled all the principalities and powers and demons and darkness of this world. And whatever lurks in your life, he can spoil them as well. I'm going to stop. We're going to sing a song. So I knew I was going to do something. And we're going to stand up. And we're going to come in the altar again. I appreciate. I know y'all, it's been a while since y'all stood up while I preached. Appreciate your standing up here. I got to stand up while I preach, so it don't hurt you any. But if you're here today and you've never been saved, listen, we can't change you, but God can. I can't give you some kind of little gimmick, some prayer to pray. I was talking to a pastor over in East Tennessee about, we were talking about people just walking the aisles and, you know, having a pencil card salvation, signing a card and thinking that's all they need to get to heaven. No, you need a lot more than that. You need the blood of Jesus. And when you have a believing application of the blood, see, this is what I believe happens. When you repent and when you put faith in Jesus Christ, you experience regeneration. Amen? God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. We call it the witness within. That's what John called it, John the Apostle. I say we Christians, true Christians, call it. You know, everybody that's saved has a witness within. He'll even say in Romans chapter 8, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you're none of his. Something's got to come in you that wasn't there before. And it only happens when you're repenting and trusting in Jesus. And when you're repenting of your sins and putting faith in Jesus Christ, the thing that validates that, the way you know that that is sufficient repentance and faith in Jesus to get you to heaven is the Spirit of God will come and confirm that you're one of his children. We call it, Titus chapter 3, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's Holy Spirit coming in direct contact with your spirit. And I'll tell you something, when that happens, you'll know it. It stays here. And all you got to do to find out if you got confirmation that you're going to heaven is look back over your life and see if you were regenerated when you believed. Amen. In the 19th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul came upon a bunch of folks at Ephesus that thought they were trying to speak in tongues and trying to be religious and stuff. And he said, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? You know, they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost coming in when they believe. And there's a lot of folks today that don't know about the Holy Ghost when they believe. Yeah. But listen, when you believe to the saving of your soul, the Holy Ghost will come in. I believe in a Holy Ghost conversion. Amen?
Amen.
Sure do. And it won't leave. All right, we're going to try this again. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray with you. But man, you got to pray for yourself. You got to get on your... Nobody can repent for you. Nobody can pray for you. Nobody can call on the Lord for you. Nobody can believe for you. You must believe and repent and call for yourself. All I can do is try to lift up Jesus to you. Believe what Jesus said, that when He's lifted up, people will be drawn to Him. And trust the Lord that He will draw you to Himself today. I want the congregation to stand. I appreciate you listening to me. I'm done. We're going to sing. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you've never had a work of grace in your heart and life, come today. Come to this altar. I mean, come. Like the woman who was an adulterous woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. Wiped them with the hair of her head. And Jesus just looked down at her and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Wow. Wow. I believe every prostitute in this world, if they go to the feet of Jesus, they can be saved. Wow! People who are on drugs, people that are on meth. I believe the church has an answer for people that are steeped in sin today, and the answer is Jesus. No matter what your vice, no matter the iniquity, Jesus can cleanse you from them all. So we're going to sing a song. Go ahead, Aaron. So somebody here who has never been saved, this altar is open. I'll ask the saints of God, come in here. Let's just come in. Let's pray. I know you know somebody who's an alcoholic, somebody who's a drug addict. I'm sure you know somebody who's steeped in sin. There's a fountain filled with blood. He will wash all of your sins away. But you've got to come to Jesus. I mean, plunge beneath the flow. I mean, lose all the guilt and all the shame of your sin. Praise God for the power of the blood. Are you like the thief on the cross? Death is at your heels. Well, pray the prayer that he prayed. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That thief on the cross had all his sins washed away. Jesus said, today you'll go to heaven with me. I mean, washed his sins away while he paid the price of his sins. Oh, my friend, listen. He will cleanse you and make you whole. Though the vilest sinner on the face of the earth, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Talking about redeeming love. He will redeem you. He will save you. He'll place your feet on the the streets of gold.